illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. The views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And this evening, our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and we're going to be talking about what's happening financially in our country today. Now, if you, of course, been following the stock market recently, why, of course, it was doing really quite well until the end of last week. It really took a severe downturn, and certainly gold and silver made a dramatic drop. Gold and went down, but silver went way down. And certainly I'm sure that anybody who had just gotten in the market was frightened to death by this sort of a situation. Things seem to have stabilized a little bit. But the major question is, what is really happening to America's economy? Is America's economy still the leading economy in the world as we have been in the past? And the difficulty is that at one time, America produced about half of the products that were utilized throughout the world. Today, America produces about 14%. 14% of our gross domestic product is manufacturing. The rest is all service and other things. And America is no longer the manufacturing giant that we were at one time in the past. And although the government keeps insisting we're creating new jobs, they never bother to tell you that those are service jobs. They're not manufacturing jobs. And we've lost over 3 million manufacturing jobs here in the last several years. Well, with that as a background, Melody, how are you doing tonight?
I'm just doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you this evening?
Oh, well as can be expected under the circumstances. But anyway, of course, what's your take on what's been happening? Certainly, I'm sure that when gold and silver were going up, while you were getting a lot of calls, what happened when they turned down so dramatically at the end of last week?
Well, when we had a little bit of a turn down in the gold and silver, the smart ones took advantage of the correction, and they went in and they bought more, and that's what everyone should do. And you can't become concerned about the corrections that we have. It is healthy, it is normal, and it is it involves several items, which I believe, I mean, we do have still some minor manipulation going on. They don't want gold to rise as yet. They don't want the lights to be gleaming on gold as yet. We have normal profit taking. And also we had, they were looking towards today and tomorrow. We have some inflation information or reports that will be released, and most likely they will be misled and said they will reflect minor inflation. And we also have option expirations next week on the 25th, in which always we'll find that the commodities will lead to the lower side during that time. Not only that, we have Memorial Day, in which we have very light trading. So if they were going to come in and manipulate any of the prices, the timing has just been perfect. And again, it's healthy, along with the profit taking, and this is just normal. I mean, we're in a major bull market. Fundamentals have not changed.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Melody Cederstrom right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Melody was saying that we appear to be in a stock market, in a bull market, not only in gold and silver, but certainly in copper and zinc and titanium, and in so many of the metals. And but copper, I can remember when copper was $1 a pound, 80 cents a pound, $1 a pound, is well over $3 a pound at the present time, and continues going up because there's tremendous demand throughout the world. China is is laying in massive supplies of all of the base metals, and with that increasing demand, and not only her manufacturing, but Indian manufacturing, why, I can only see these markets continuing to increase for some period of time. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we have to look and see what is pushing gold and silver and the commodities to rise. I mean, even a month ago, even with the correction that we had on Monday, gold is still up over $100. Gold has gained close to $200 or 40% since the start of the year. And we traded above over close to $730 last week for the first time since 1980. And silver, that has rallied 65% to trade near a 25-year high of $15 an ounce. Silver seems to reach that $15 mark, and for some reason it's having a hard time to close and to stay above $15. But the demand has been tremendous. Not here in the States, not here in Canada, not in Europe, but you have your Asian countries, people who understand they are scooping up gold, the commodities are rising, China, Russia. You have the problems with Iran continuing. We have the dollar. I mean, all the fundamentals to make gold rise continues, and nothing has changed. No one has addressed any of the problems that we face in our monetary situation, and so we continue to see gold rise. We have tremendous inflation. Inflation is 10% plus, and gold has always been a hedge against inflation. And gold will continue its market, continue its run. And today, gold closed up $8 after yesterday's decline of 26. The aftermarket tonight is also above $8, so it's continuing to gain strength. Now, in the aftermarket, is it above $700? It's $701.50 prior to the show. So. Gold might see another good strong day depending on the inflation reports tomorrow. So,
all right, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Melody's point, I think, is well made, that the average person in the United States, other than a small group of people who listen to programs such as ours, the average person is unconcerned about the gold and silver market. Oh, they may think it's up a little bit, but, you know, they were in gold and silver back in 1980, and a lot of them bought high and sold low, and so they really don't like the precious metals anymore. Without realizing, of course, that what we're really talking about is the financial stability of the world monetary system. Now, what's really so interesting is that over in China, why the Chinese government has been buying gold to back their currency. They want a solidly backed gold-backed currency. Russia is increasing their gold holdings, as are certain other countries throughout the world. And then there's just a lot of little people in the Orient, certainly in both India and China, and the Malaysian countries, who want something of tangible value, because they've seen how their currencies have been attacked in the past, and they don't want to see it happen again. The Russian people lost all of their savings during the early 1990s, but the United States sent some experts over there to tell them how to go into the free market, and we set off an inflationary spiral that just simply destroyed the life savings of almost everyone in Russia. And this is why people in Russia and in other countries are really trying to get something of inherent value. So certainly Melody was saying that, you know, the gold certainly took a hit the other day. It was really overbought. It had been going up way too fast, and it began to actually cut back. So, you know, are you still getting an awful lot of calls, Melody?
Absolutely. It has been crazy, and as gold rises, business was heavier when gold was closer to 730 than after the correction. And it should really be the other way around. We should see, as we have this correction, people should be taking advantage of it, and they should be coming in. If you already have your portfolios, you should be adding to it. If you're new, you should be calling and asking questions. And the business has been incredible, and we expect it to continue. And I don't see any reason, as gold rises, now you have choices, and I've said this for a very long time. You have a choice now with the product that you can purchase. But just as soon as we see prices rise and you get into that panic-type buying, product disappears. And there's been comments, well, there will always be a market for gold. And, yes, there will always be gold products, maybe. But as we see gold rise, people will be holding on to their gold, particularly as we see the dollar lose its value, because what else is there? What else can they sell their gold and purchase? And until the dollar stabilizes, they'll be holding on to their gold. So we will have an uneven exchange. We will have more buyers and less sellers, which means there will be less product on the market to buy. So now you have the opportunity to have a choice. You can diversify amongst the gold products. You can buy the gold products that will perform the greatest. And you can speculate a little more. Or you can stick with bullion. You can get the fractional pieces. Prior to Y2K, we saw a lot of the product dry up. And I think you'll see that again, particularly when the mania begins. When the people do wake up, and we expect that to be around 850. When gold reaches 850, we believe your mainstream will be picking it up again. We'll see Wall Street begin pushing it. And Wall Street will always lag what the where we're at right now, just like they did in the past. When gold reached 850 previously, it was Wall Street a couple years later that really started pushing the coins, that made a lot of the coins reach their highs. They didn't reach their highs exactly when gold hit 850. So when we see 850 now, we'll see mainstream, Wall Street, again pushing gold, pushing the commodities, pushing precious metals. And the mania will begin, and that will again propel gold to all sorts of levels. Right now, I think what we're seeing is gold just catching up to where it should be in the marketplace. It's been suppressed for so long, and now it's just catching up to where it should be, just like a lot of the other commodities. And then you have the demand that is adding to it. So we see these huge gains, and we really haven't seen anything yet. There's many projections by economists, major economists, Mr. Chapman, and many others that predict to see gold by the end of the year at 1,000. And if there's any outside catalyst, it could propel it above that. Even with inflation dollars, there's many numbers saying that gold should be trading anywhere from 1,600 to 2,000. So if it just catches up to where it's supposed to be, it's between 16 and 2,000. So we have a long way to go, and it's an opportunity to get in here. Well, really, it's still relatively cheap.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that if anybody has really studied what's happened monetarily to our country, why, we have created all sorts of money. And the other countries are creating all sorts of money. And it's wonderful when you have a printing press. You can create artificial wealth. And you can actually disseminate that, and people will give you things for it. But eventually, as with all fiat currencies, they always collapse. I mean, this has been tried hundreds of times down through the centuries, and it has always resulted in a total disaster. And the thing is that anybody who's really studying what's going on today realizes that neither the Fed, our central bank, nor the central banks of the world can hold this together indefinitely. We have tremendous debts. I mean, the debts of the American people, you know, are astronomical. It's estimated that the average person, with all the debt that our government, the things that they promised in the way of Medicare and free drugs and Social Security and welfare benefits, we're talking about $150,000 for every individual in America. Where are they going to get the money? There's no place the money's going to come from. They got massive debt. They have to get rid of this debt before they can grow a healthy economy again. And of course, when you liquidate debt, an awful lot of people get hurt. And one of the things they're doing today is, of course, raising interest rates. If they don't raise interest rates, they lose the dollar. If they do raise interest rates, they collapse the economy or begin to contract the economy. And neither one's a very good alternative, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, they are micromanaging this country and our economy on a probably hour-to-hour basis. And we are teetering, and we are teetering on the brink, and things will play out. And there's a lot of people in this country that will be hurt, and I never call it gloom and doom. These are facts, and this is what's happening, and this is what has happened to this country. And it will be placed, and the people that will have to bear this out, people talk about children and grandchildren, they will have to face it. They will have to pay the price on what has been done financially to this country. And the only way that you can protect yourself is by owning gold and silver with the precious metals.
Well, I think people have to realize they're going to have to get into something that is going to back their money, because, of course, what happens, and it has happened so many times before, as they print more and more money, the money that is in circulation has less and less value. The two go together. And they continue printing money. And then, of course, what they've done is they've encouraged people to borrow on their homes. And they've run up the price of the homes. And now, of course, so many people have taken out these either interest-only loans or adjustable rate loans. And now, as the interest rate goes up, and we're talking now about the interest rate on the average home loan is going to go to 7%, 7.5%. People are not going to be able to make the payments on those homes. And I think an awful lot of people who have adjustable rate mortgages are going to end up losing their homes. Those homes are going to be foreclosed upon, going to be put on the market. And then the price of homes is going to be forced down. And so many people have been using their home as a piggy bank. In other words, they've been borrowing on the home. And pretty soon, the value of the home will be far less than the amount of money that they owe on it. And when you get to that sort of a situation, it's a recipe for disaster.
There are pockets in this country of communities that have been totally destroyed by our jobs being outsourced, by factories being closed, by manufacturing leaving this country. There's homes that are in foreclosure that you can pick up fairly cheap, and not just homes that are in poor neighborhoods and need repairs. I've been told in Indiana by one of my customers that the Chrysler plant had closed and moved out, and they were gone for 11 months, and by the time they came back, they couldn't believe the change in the community, where businesses have been boarded up, homes have been boarded up, and they were just shocked at the change. And so I believe there's more of these communities in pockets around this country that we don't hear about, we don't read about, because naturally all the news that is produced by television and by newspapers, of course, they might touch briefly on some of the problems, but they will really not talk about what is tearing out the heart of this country and how it is affecting people. And yes, I believe people need to take some responsibility for, you know, how they manage their funds and overextending themselves. But I also believe that a lot of blame is placed by the banks of this country by putting free money and easy credit and qualifying people who don't deserve or wouldn't and shouldn't qualify for certain homes and so forth. So it's a dire situation. And truly sad that so many people will be hurt.
Well, I think that all we can do is just simply act as sort of a warning system, try to get people to understand the history of a monetary system, and, of course, we've got a great deal of information on that. We have a wonderful little pamphlet called The History of Money. Most people don't understand that there has never been a fiat money system that survived for any period of time. And when you get to the end of that system, you want to be ready to bail out. We're going to be back in just a moment with Melody, and of course we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Melody, go ahead, pick up the story there.
Well, also, everyone knows, and I know every time I get a chance to talk about it, and a lot of other people talk about it, is like since last fall, the report of the money, M3, was terminated. And since then, we've seen gold and silver have taken off. And So I believe that was truly the end of the suppression of the gold market, and we will continue to see the dollar become vulnerable. And as we mentioned earlier, foreign holders know what the dollar will do. They don't want to hold it. It has to be devalued. In fact, you see more and more even on the network news, on like the financial news programs, they talk more about the dollar has to lose its value 50-60% to deal with the significant deficits that we have. And as that is happening, again, we'll see stronger and stronger gold prices. And so, again, the fundamentals for gold to rise and to continue its bull market is very strong. And the corrections that we saw yesterday of $26, they're temporary, and you should take advantage of those.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Tony calling from Coeur d'Alene. Oh, I bet I know who that is. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. We survived our first winter.
All right. Well, Tony used to live in our local area here, so I recognize his voice, and he's moved up into the Idaho area there, Spokane area. Anyway, Tony, how's life treating you up there? Are you doing well?
Yeah, I can't complain too much.
All right.
I don't like winter, you know, being from California, but it's not that bad.
All right. Fine. Well, I understand you get very mild winters there in Coeur d'Alene and the Spokane area.
Yeah, it's not like Montana or anything.
All right, fine. Did you have a question or comment for us this evening?
Well, I do. You know me, I've followed the metals for a long time, and I mean for at least 10 years, been, you know, telling people to do just what Melanie's been saying, and you yourself and anybody who's followed that advice and has held on has done okay. And I don't think it's going to get any worse in the future. It's just that...
I think it's going to get a lot worse in the future, Tony.
Well, I mean, as far as being a good investment.
Oh, I see. Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, I was speaking to someone at Blanchard Metals the other day.
Right.
And I just happened to bring out, well, you know, that lawsuit against Barrick has been going on forever. And... she told me, well, it's not going on anymore. They settled.
Now, why don't you explain to our listeners what that lawsuit with Barrick was? It was really about manipulation of the gold price, wasn't it?
Well, basically what has happened over the years to keep the price of gold down and keep it suppressed is that the central banks will take massive amounts of gold, and then they will, quote-unquote, lease that gold through their agent, who in this case was Barrick Gold, the world's largest gold company now that they bought out of Placer Dome. And then they will take that gold and they will dump it on the open market to drive the price down. They take the proceeds from the sale and then they buy treasury bonds. And they were getting paid like 4 or 5%. And then they pay the central bank a lease rate, which would be 2, 3%, and they keep the profit. Now, the only problem with all this picture is, besides open, blatant manipulation...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Tony from calling from Coeur d'Alene, who is talking about a lawsuit which has been lodged against Barrick, which is a gold company. They're gold producer, probably one of the largest gold producers in the world. And Barrick has been borrowing gold from the central banks, working in concert with the central banks, and then actually selling that gold on the market to drive the price down. And, of course, then taking the proceeds, putting it into T-bills, and making a good spread. What difference between what they had to pay the central banks for the gold that they borrowed and then the income that they would get from their T-bills. Not only that, but Barrick then hedged their unproduced gold, in other words, gold that they were going to produce, and they sold it on the open market to drive down the price of gold. Why would they do that? Well, because the last thing, of course, that they want is for people throughout the world to realize that we have a fiat money system. They did not want the price of gold to go up. And if they could keep the price down artificially, then people would have nothing to exchange other than the paper that the central banks create out of nothing. Would that be true, Tony?
Well said. But now, see, furthermore, now what happened was when Blanchard filed the lawsuit against American Barrick Gold and they are the largest in the world now, as I mentioned, since they bought Placer Dome. They also sued their agents, who were left unnamed. They came into the picture later that was J.P. Morgan, and they named the central banks. The central banks claimed immunity. Now, the judge down in Louisiana agreed and gave the central banks immunity. Then what happened was Barrick tried to claim immunity themselves. In other words, they admitted to the collusion, but they said that they were immune because the central bank was immune.
In other words, they were acting as a central bank's agent in a conspiracy to keep the price of gold down.
Right, and the judge, I forget his name, down there in Louisiana, what he gave is he granted the central bank's immunity, but said no to Barrick.
So what happened?
This girl was telling me they're not making anything public, but they settled the case. They put a gag order on it, and what she said is, you can rest assured that these practices that were in the suit will not be reoccurring in the future.
All right, Melody, had you heard anything about this?
Well, I knew they settled out of court. And I guess they had settled, it's been, I think, what, last June or something like that, maybe almost a year that they settled, I thought. And so I haven't really discussed that lawsuit for a while. But, yeah, I knew the central banks, they had settled first, and then they had settled out of court.
And so I think that they put a gag order on. Why? Because they don't want the American people to realize that the central banks have been working in collusion and a conspiracy to keep the price of gold down, and they have until recently. Now I think that, of course, the price of gold has escaped, and it's beginning to go up on its own. Would that be a fair thought, appraisal, Melody?
Absolutely. I believe they truly lost their ability to control gold anymore. I think if they do it, they can do it temporarily. There's some out there, they call it the three-day rule. They can't do it any longer than 3 days. And what we've seen in the past couple of months, they might be able to hit gold one day, but usually the next day it comes back strong. And so I believe they've lost their ability to control it anymore.
Okay, Tony, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, just one other comment about this whole sordid situation. There's a group called GATA. It's the Global Action Committee Against something or other. I read their website once in a while. But they have been bringing this out for quite some time, that the central banks were involved, they have done so much of this leasing of gold, in other words, just dumping it on the market through Barrick to drive the prices down. They've done this for so long that they don't have a whole lot of gold left because it's been placed on the open market and basically dumped to suppress the price for so long. And they claim, I'm not just saying, they claim that the central banks are, their gold supplies are probably about right up there with what we have in Fort Knox, which is not a whole lot. And this is what they say. And it could lead to something as far as in terms of prices in numbers that I wouldn't even want to mention because people would think that was a total lunacy.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you very much for calling, Tony. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you.
Give my best to your wife.
Bye-bye.
I will.
Okay,
bye-bye. Fine.
Well, that was Tony calling from Coeur d'Alene, and we had a caller from New York, but we lost him. If you'd like to call in, why, we'd be glad to take his call. But I think it's important that people understand that this has been manipulated. That's what the lawsuit Blanchard against Barrick Gold was, and of course, apparently, it's been settled. They're not going to be able to continue manipulating the price of gold, and now gold is going to have to be bought and sold on the free market. And so I think it's amazing the rise that we've seen here in the last this last year. Would you agree, Melody?
Absolutely, I agree. And these central banks, my understanding is when they lease it out, they do have to end up supplying it, so which could lead, again, just like Tony said, some tremendous prices in the in gold.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. We're basically talking about the manipulation of the gold market by the central banks. And, of course, now they're not able to do it anymore. Now, they, of course, have been talking about selling all the gold, the central banks selling the gold, but who buys it? They never asked that question. And, of course, the truth of the matter is, and those of you who get our syllabus on the financial tsunami, we actually have information from the first Federal Reserve Bank of New York, where they admit that they are holding down in their basement there about $1 trillion worth of gold. It doesn't belong to the first Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It belongs to the central banks throughout the world, and they hold it there. And of course, when one central bank sells gold, then of course what they do is they move it on a pallet from one stack to another. It's all smoke and mirrors. It is all to convince the American people gold has no value. The central banks are selling it, but of course then somebody other central bank is buying it. And most of what's going on today is simply a charade to try to support a fiat money system. And of course, as the Encyclopedia Britannica has said, it is the indisputable lesson of history that sooner or later, and usually sooner, all paper money declines in quality. Representative money becomes credit money becomes fiat money, and fiat money becomes the epitome of worthlessness. In fact, it was Daniel Webster who said so well, of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. So I think that there's a real problem there, and I think that what Melody is trying to do is to get people to understand that if you believe that paper money is going to maintain its value, you haven't learned the lessons of history. In Rhodesia today, they have 1,000% inflation. Who put the Rhodesian government in power? They call it Zimbabwe today. Your government put that in power, and they've essentially destroyed the savings and wealth of the entire population, and they've impoverished them. That's exactly what we did, of course, in Russia in the early 1990s. This happened in Argentina 3 or 4 years ago. People only lost 3/4 of everything they had, but 3/4 of everything you've worked for your whole life is a terrible, terrible loss. Could that happen here, Melody?
I think so. Absolutely. And, you know, I get a lot of questions about the differences between gold and silver, and everybody sees the large increases where silver could outperform gold. And I always have to tell them that you have to understand.
Hold that thought there, Melody. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom. And before Melody sort of talks about the difference between gold and silver, let's go ahead and ask her if she'll just go ahead and get her telephone number and her website out there. So if you'd like to get hold of Melody, you'll know how to reach her. Go ahead, Melody.
They can reach me at 1-800-375-4188. And again, that number is 1-800-375-4188. And if you'd like to visit the website, you can go to, and it's spelled, it's a long one, and the little word and is spelled out, go to discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. That is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. And what about a telephone number?
Telephone number is 1-800-375-4188.
One more time. I always got to give it twice here on the radio because people never get it the first time.
1-800-375-4188.
Okay, well, then you were talking about certainly a lot of people have been very impressed with the run-up in silver because certainly silver has gone from about $5 an ounce up to almost 15. It's down around $13.50 at the present time. And so what are your thoughts on the relationship and the advantages of having gold over silver or silver over gold or having both of them?
Well, I think silver is important, though, and I think it can do very well as an investment. But when we were talking about the central banks and how they've, over the years, suppressed the price of gold because they wanted to create the illusion that they've created that money is real, you have to ask yourself, why do central banks want gold? They are involved in gold. They didn't suppress silver. Gold is a monetary metal. And I tell my clients, you have to make sure, because there's a lot of people out there who just want to buy silver. And yes, silver is important, and it very much belongs to certain investors, and there's nothing wrong with silver. But to become heavy in silver, silver will not protect your purchasing power like gold will. The central banks aren't buying silver. central banks didn't suppress silver. They did gold. The world is not buying silver. They're buying gold. All your countries, China, India, they're buying gold, not silver. So it's important to remain and be heavier in gold than you are in silver. And that is so misunderstood. And yes, you can see percentage-wise, yes, silver could rise higher than gold. But silver is very volatile. It is still a industry metal. It is used commercially, more so than monetary. And gold is what everyone will turn to when the dollar loses its value. And you have to remember that when you're putting together a portfolio. Silver is good. It's a great speculative market. And you should be about 20 to 25% in silver and the balance in gold.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Melody, you know, about her thoughts, because she deals in these things. I certainly don't. But anyway, of course, what types of gold should people be getting?
Well, I believe people need to be diversified. You need to have a diversified portfolio. And it really depends on the client's investment objective. I do not believe that there's a one coin that fits all. You have different budgets, different ideas, different views, different goals, and I work with those. I put together individual portfolios. And yes, a lot of the product is the same, but you have different allocations across the board of the different products. And we've talked about diversification before. That, to me, that is very important. We talk about gold bullion as gold bullion coins like gold eagles and Krugerrands. We talk about numismatic coins. But I believe if you have a substantial portfolio, you need to be in both. You need to have your numismatic coins. You need to have your bullion coins. Because if there's ever an emergency, what you would want to sell would be your bullion coins. But I try to explain all this with each investor when they call to give them an overview of the different products. And we put together their investment strategies. And so they become active in their portfolios. And to me, that is a key to obtaining the perfect portfolio. I mean, I know there's portfolios that were put together in 1998, 1999. They're not even profiting yet. And that is so truly disgusting. It just upsets me. There's so much misrepresentation on the products that how different products perform and they don't. And we just try to explain so you can take an active role in your own portfolio.
Well, what about some of the very small denomination coins, the tenth or quarter of an ounce American gold coins? Are they a good investment?
You can buy fractional pieces. Every time you go down in size, when you start out at 1 ounce, you go down to a half, quarter, and a tenth, you pay more for your gold. So if you want to stretch your dollar the furthest, you want to stay with the 1 ounce gold coin. But if you want some fractional pieces, some people use them for bartering, some people think about purchasing things, you'll want to go into the smaller pieces, and yes, they're fine, as long as you know you paid more for your gold on the smaller size. Some of my favorites are the smaller fractional. When you get into the circulated $5 gold pieces, I think they're great for bartering. You get a pre-33 coin. I think it's better than any type of foreign gold that's dated pre-33. And you have a little bit of a premium on it, but and by no means does it keep you out of confiscation should they confiscate again, but perhaps it could, because it could be looked at as a rare and unusual coin because they don't make them anymore. So there's no guarantees when you're going into the circulated coins, and certainly not the $20 gold pieces, because when you sell them back, they're pretty much just based on melt value. In fact, I've seen some comparisons. When I do my comparisons, like the extra fine $20 Liberties, the bid price on them is actually lower than a 1 ounce gold eagle. So you have to be careful, and this is the information that has to be explained to you when you're making purchases. So again, when you talk about fractional pieces, You have to look at your investment objectives and where you are as an investor, whether you're beginning, whether you've already have your base portfolio and you want to add, you want to speculate, you can do that. There's many different coins that you can purchase other than just maybe the ones that you've been purchasing over and over and over again. So there's great coins, there's choices, and now's the time to continue to add. It's time to accumulate, and because there will be a time when prices become too high, and you might have to settle for something that you would prefer something else, but is getting a little too high. And so we'll tell you that also. I will tell you if a coin is overpriced and that maybe you're better off buying something else because this particular coin that you want is overpriced. The Indian coins, the $10 Indians, the $5 Indians, and the $2.50 Indians, they've had a terrific run. But my thought is they've had such a terrific run, are they a little overpriced at this point in time? So, again, here's a choice for you to decide whether you want to continue purchasing Indians or maybe get something else that because they perform somewhere or so high or so great that another coin might have been overlooked. And I try to find those bargains. I try to find the coins that have been neglected, that maybe they've lagged the past couple of months because maybe something else was a little more desirable at that point in time. So I try to find the bargains for everyone so you have an opportunity to make the most that you can on your money.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if people are going to get silver, are they ordinarily then getting the 90% silver bags, and are they still readily available?
90% bags are still available, and it's amazing. About a month ago on the MS64 Morgan dollars, if I had ordered 300, 400, I could have had them here the next day. Now they're piecemealed, 20, 30, 40 at a time. So product disappears very quickly. Silver rounds, they're hit and miss. Silver bars, we can usually get them ordered in. But the premiums on the silver bars are almost as high as the 90% silver. So again, if you want to stretch your dollar the furthest, then you want to pick up the 90% silver. And they're great buys. They're now over $10,000. And a year ago, we were selling them for about $4,000.
I remember that. Well, let's go to Eric, who's calling from Soquel. Hi, Eric. How you doing?
Hi, good. I had a question about some silver.
Okay.
I purchased some junk, what they call junk silver, I guess, a little while ago. And about when it was like $7.50 an ounce. And I have a small family. I have one kid and a wife, and it's just me and them. And so I made like a little bit of money on it, and now I'm wondering. I don't have any gold, and I'm wondering, what do you think I should do?
Well, did you get a bag or a couple of bags?
Yeah,
or?
Sorry, it was a half a bag.
Yeah, half a bag.
So at the time, it was about $3,000. So now it's more, but yeah. Well, see, that doesn't count because of the commission and all that. So it was half a bag.
Well, what would you say to Erica?
You can always add gold. I mean, I don't know what type of funds you have available to work with. That is certainly a consideration in the different gold products when you're ready to make a purchase. But I believe there's gold for everyone out there. People say they can't afford it, but I mean, you can buy 10-ounce gold eagles for a little over $80. You can buy extra fine $5 liberties for $215, $220. So you can buy gold. And you just need to call me in the morning, and we can see what's available for you. But, yes, gold is important. Gold protects your purchasing power. And to me, it's more important than silver. You know, silver is a great investment.
Yeah.
I believe gold is more important than silver.
Well, you know, when I bought the bag, it didn't seem like I'm not exactly sure if how much you should own of silver and how much of gold. And I kind of thought, from what I'm hearing from your show, it sounds like maybe I have too much in silver compared to how much, you know, I should have in gold. You know, you said, I think you said 80% or something like that in gold. or I can't remember what you said, but I was just thinking, yeah, maybe I should call you in the morning or something to figure it out with my budget and everything.
Right, because you could actually, in the future, you could start getting a gold. It's sort of, one nice thing about silver, half a bag of silver, you could always, of course, spend that. You could always use that for barter. You know, that's 90% gold, but about 90% silver. But anyway, of course, you go ahead and do what you'd like to. Certainly, I'd talk to Melody, and, you know, if you can pick up some gold at this time, it would be a pretty good idea.
Okay. Okay.
That's the whole key of being diversified and balanced. I believe you need to have, like, even when you're building a home, or you need to have your base, you need to have your foundation of your precious metals. And I believe that needs to be balanced with, you know, where you need to be heavier in gold than silver. And then once you have your foundation, once you have your base metals, then you can start speculating. And, you know, as you move along and as funds become available and as you continue to build, because there isn't any other investment out there. And every day, and I talk to plenty of economists, if there's one investment that I believed in, I would tell you. And it's, until something better comes along than gold, gold is where people need to be at. Because, again, as we see, there's no point in holding on to cash or any investment that's valued in dollars. Because as the dollar falls, so does your purchasing power. So if you do have investments in dollar-denominated, if you have dollar-denominated investments, at least offset it with gold. You know, if you want to spend, you know, $20,000 in stocks, well, you know, be my guest. It wouldn't be something that I would want to do, but at least offset it with gold. At least protect yourself in that manner, having that balanced portfolio. And again, I just don't sell coins. I just don't sell coins and product to people just to sell. And I think that's where I am different. I do believe people need to have portfolios. I believe in it very strongly. And I believe in sleeping at night. And that's why I put out a good product at a good price. And I have very, very happy customers because they do like the way their portfolios perform.
Anyway, Eric, have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I think that's it. I'll have to visit the website or something.
All right, fine. And
thank you, Eric.
No, don't feel bad that you've got the silver because that...
No, not at all. Yeah, don't feel bad
that
you have it.
But as far as the future is concerned, why start thinking about these other things? I realize it's a tough time, but, you know, do away with any of the luxuries you have. Begin preparing for what I believe are some very difficult times that lie ahead.
I agree. All right, thank you.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much. What's the bid and ask price for a 1 ounce Eagle at the present time?
1 ounce Gold Eagle, we're running about $31 over spot, and the bid is about, wholesale bid is about 15 above spot.
Okay, fine. So there's not a lot of markup on that, but
no.
it's a great coin, and so basically 15 over spot and spot right now is pretty close to $700, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In the aftermarket, it was 701 before the show. And again, too, you're right, Dr. Stan. You know, people shouldn't feel that they own silver. You know, I think it's a great investment. And again, that's what we do here. We base investments on the ability to purchase. And there's lots of customers that I start out with silver because that's where they are, and that would be the best investment for them at that time. And yes, 90% bags I think is the best. It's a great way to spend your funds. It's you get more silver for your money. And I believe in stretching your dollar to get more for less. And you do that with 90% silver. So I think 90% silver is a great investment and very important.
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there who really don't have a great deal of money. But whatever you have, I think people really ought to start investing it in. And because I think we're in for some very difficult times. Let's go to Bill calling from Florida. Bill, you have a question?
Yes. I was wondering what Melody thought and portfolios would. What's the rule of thumb as far as, you know, gold versus what you have in stocks or 401ks and stuff like that?
All right, fine. Bill wants to know, I mean, how much did you have stocks and how much did you have in gold at the present time?
Well, you're asking the barber if you need a haircut. I don't think anybody should have any stocks. I think it should all be in gold.
Yeah,
but I mean, again, because you're looking at paper investments, and it's a dollar-denominated investment. And when the market goes, and we know we're going to have a big correction in the market, so goes stocks, and so goes your investment.
And the other thing is, of course, bonds, if you are in bonds, these are certificates of guaranteed confiscation, because as the value of the dollar falls, while the value of that bond can be simply wiped out overnight. And so you have to, but hang on there, Bill. We'll let Melody answer that a little bit more when we get back here in just a moment. But people have to understand the history of fiat monies. They have always eventually collapsed, and we have a fiat money system. Bill, go ahead. Did you have any other question for Melody?
No, that was about it. I'll give her a call in the morning. What time is she open in the morning?
Our office hours are 8 to 8.
8 to 8.
On evenings, I do back to Stan. It's 8 in the morning till midnight.
8 to midnight.
But no, our normal hours are 8 to 8 Eastern time.
All right.
Okay, God bless. Thanks very much. And why don't you get your telephone number out there one more time, Melody?
It is 1-800-375-4188. And again, 800-375-4188.
Well, these are really amazing times that we're living in. I think most people have this feeling that nothing could ever change, and yet they've never studied history. All great nations have ended up committing suicide. America is well on its way to committing suicide. We are involved in a no-win war in Iraq. We are involved in a no-win war in Afghanistan. And heaven help us, it looks like we're seriously contemplating expanding the war to Iran and Syria. And believe me, if that does happen, they're going to, I believe, going to be dramatic financial consequences. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you, and we're going to have major consequences, and people need to protect themselves with gold. And I kind of lost.
Okay,
what
do you say? People ought to protect themselves with gold, and I agree with you totally. I think that people need to begin planning for some very, very difficult times financially that are going to lie ahead. Will it be a matter of a year? Will it be 2 or 3 years? I don't think it's that far ahead. I think that this thing is beginning to unravel. The power that once dwelt in the United States is being taken by communist China, is being taken by India. We are shifting intentionally and maliciously and purposely our manufacturing base to Russia, to Brazil, to India, and to China. And you say that doesn't make any sense. Why would we do something that stupid? And it was simply because, in my opinion, the people who control the reins of power of both political parties in the United States have a different agenda, have a different worldview. Do you have a parting thought before we let you go, Melody?
For over 12 years, Dr. Shan, I've been waiting to see gold rise to these levels, to see the suppression be eliminated, to see it, to see gold become the monetary metal that it is. But as we see gold rise, it always gives me a sinking feeling, because I realize that as we see gold rise, there's more to it, and it's coming to pass.
Hold that thought right there. Well, of course, Melody was just saying that she's been waiting for 12 years to see the rise in the price of gold that she's seeing now. And yet, as she sees this, it gives her sort of a sinking feeling. Why don't you go ahead and finish up that thought before we let you go, Melody?
Because as we see gold rise again, we see the what they've done to this country, the agenda that they've had come to fruition, and it's two sides of the coin, and the good side and the bad side. But the listeners can be protected by the good side to the best they can by owning gold and silver in their portfolio. And when you hear the negative comments, when we have corrections like we saw yesterday, you have to ignore it, because all it is they need to do what they can to keep it from rising too fast. They want it to rise on their terms. They want the dollar to fall on their terms, but they can only control it so long. And so we need to take advantage. They've given us an opportunity. They've given you an opportunity to continue to add gold, because we're still at low prices. You can't compare $700 gold to where it was at $254. You have to compare gold at $700 to where it will be, from predictions anywhere from $16 to $2,000 to $3,000 plus. And when you look at our deficits, there isn't any reason when our dollar falls that the gold cannot go there. And again, it's, you know, you hear the gold dealers talk about it all the time. Buy gold, but that will truly protect your purchasing power.
All right, God bless, and thanks very much, Melody.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. And, of course, I want our listeners to know that Melody does help and support Radio Liberty, but I think their message is clear. And I really hope that the people out there, wherever they go, whether it's a local store, or Melody, or one of the other people who we have on here, begins making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. Because remember what Alan Greenspan wrote back in 1966. In the absence of the gold standard, wrote Alan Greenspan, there is no way to protect your savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirade against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. And ladies and gentlemen, we have massive deficit spending here in the United States. The deficit this year, you're told, will be $313 billion. Is simply lying to you. If you take out all the off-budget items and the money they're going to steal from Social Security and Medicare, you're talking close to $600 to $700 billion again this year. This has been certainly the greatest deficit spending in all recorded history we've witnessed for the last few years, and as the war continues expanding, there is no end in sight. It will end ultimately in the destruction of our monetary system, and perhaps the destruction of the monetary system of the entire world. So our plea with you is get informed, and we carry a number of books on this subject, The Creature from Jekyll Island, my talk on the coming economic crisis, our syllabus on financial tsunami, and we're going to have to put that on video. We're having difficulty getting the talk on DVD. I'm hoping we're going to be able to get a decent DVD. If not, why, we will have the talk available on video. You need, of course, to know the history of what's happened in the past to begin to understand what the future holds for you and your loved ones. So remember, of course, the stability of a society is dependent upon the stability of the currency. Destroy the stability of the currency, you destroy the stability of society. And there really are people who hate America. They would love to see our system collapse and then, of course, force us to merge with the rest of the world, first to unite with the other countries of the Western Hemisphere, and then, of course, to merge with Mexico and Canada and Bolivia, and then merge the Western bloc with the rest of the world. There is a plan. It is being carried out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be back in just a moment with the next hour. And remember, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest, who tonight is John Spring. And John is a geographer, he's done a lot of studying about geopolitics. He had his own program in Southern California for some time, radio program, and we hope he's going to be back on there again before very long. But we thought we'd be talking about some of the things that are going on in the Orient, and certainly in the Middle East. And certainly one of the big problems we face today is China. The most dynamic industrial nation in the world today, and actually, of course, they are giving us, they're selling us over $200 billion more in products than we're buying from them. And of course, this is happening because we've allowed them to devalue their currency, we've allowed them to close their markets to our products. Why have we done that? Because the wicked people who control both political parties want to build up communist China as a great industrial nation. We've encouraged American corporations to move there. How have we encouraged them? Why, with readily availability of loans from the Asian Development Bank and the East Asian Development Bank and the IMF and the World Bank, but even more than that, by giving them special income tax incentives. In other words, if they made their money over there, why, they could keep it over there or bring it back in here at only 5%, whereas you and I are going to pay 25 or 30% income tax, but the corporations pay only 5% on the money that they make in China. And then, of course, we have guaranteed them that if their plants are ever nationalized by the Chinese communists, why, you, the American taxpayer, will actually compensate those great corporations like General Motors and the others who've taken their factories from the United States and moved them to communist China, where they can produce goods very cheaply and then send them back into the United States at very low prices. So basically, what has happened in China is one of the great miracles of modern times, but it has all been built with fiat money system. Well, that is the background, and then, of course, the threat of a coming war, a looming war with Iran. Let's go to John Spring. Hi, John. How you doing?
Real fine, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be on your program again. What you said about China is so true, and yet I can recall, Dr. Stan, when I was becoming a graduate student in the early 60s and I was aspiring to study China, that in reality, I was discouraged by the so-called China experts or the professors who specialized in that area on campus, because they said, to be quite honest, Mr. Spring, if you should study China, you're really wasting your time, because China doesn't have anything to sell to us, and there's really going to be no economic transactions of any significance with that nation. But things have changed. Things have changed so drastically. And during the late 70s, China decided to entice American and foreign investment by a series of special economic zones along coastal areas of China. Now, these special economic zones, or SEZs, were designed to be monitored very closely by the government. And they screened all applicants who would be working in these facilities, all Chinese nationals, and as a result, it's a very controlled situation. So anyone who has the idea that trade with China will bring about democracy and freedom is certainly misled.
But of course, that's what they keep telling the American people, because they do not want the American people to know that the people who really control the things behind the scenes want to build up the economy of China, want to make it into the great industrial producer of the world. In fact, well, we'll talk about more about that when we get back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is John Spring, and we're talking about China. And, of course, John's point, and I think well made, is that they're telling the American people, oh, my goodness, you know, all we have to do is build up the economy of China. They're going to become more democratic. And that's like the analogy of feeding a tiger meat, hoping he's going to become a vegetarian. And our leaders are not stupid. They have intentionally transferred our most sophisticated military technology to communist China. They have given them the wherewithal to build their missile technology and be able to MIRV their missiles and be able to target them on our cities. And none of this makes sense unless you understand that there is another agenda behind everything going on today. I personally believe that our leaders are preparing to build up communist China in preparation for World War III, the last great world war before, of course, the end of civilization as we know it. Well, you pick up the story there, John.
Well, Dr. Stan, it seems as if the American people are the most naive or gullible in the world when it comes to foreign aid and foreign negotiations, because in reality we seem to keep making that mistake time and time again, and unfortunately we don't learn from our past history. If we continue to feed China all of the technology which we have, and so far we've given them enough technology basically to have at this time enough missiles operational to hit every major city in the United States with nuclear warheads. Now, that's pretty high-tech development for a nation which was supposedly so backward in the space and missile age just a decade ago.
But, of course, John, it's all American technology, and it has been literally given to them as a gift. And you have to ask yourself, how could our leaders be so incredibly stupid, or do they have another agenda?
Well, it appears that someone in this nation has another agenda. And if you take a good look at Wall Street, I think that's where part of the problem lies, Dr. Stan. Because without the investment of the U.S. and multinational corporations, both in the United States and Europe and Japan, China would not be having a thriving economy as it is right now. But it was designed primarily to build up China's technology so that in turn it would have a military capability that would be at least on par with the West. And in all probability in the near future, it will excel and exceed our current technology, which basically will put us in a checkmate situation, which will be very detrimental to our nation's security.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and one of my favorite quotations came from Colonel Nasser, who, of course, led Egypt from, I think, about 1953 to 1971. And one of the statement he made was this. He said, "The genius of you Americans is you never make simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complicated, stupid mistakes so that we always wonder if we're missing something." Well, you know, of course, I don't think we do make complicated, stupid mistakes. I think the people who run our State Department are brilliant. I think they know exactly what they're doing. I think that they are intentionally building up the military potential of communist China in preparation for another world war. And I believe that they know exactly what they're doing because their loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist dream. And out of the coming world war will come the ultimate world government, which is their real loyalty. They're not interested in trying to have America survive as a sovereign nation. Yes. They're globalists. So pick up the story there, John.
Yes, Dr. Stan. I'm glad you brought that up because for all practical purposes, our intelligence communities throughout the United States are now controlled by foreign entities. Not necessarily national governments, but foreign factions which basically control our intelligence community, and our intelligence community has reached the stage whereby it now mandates and sets policy for the United States. And that's a very frightening situation for what is supposedly supposed to be a representative constitutional republic.
I think that's a very interesting point. I think that our leaders should, pardon me, our listeners should understand that in the Soviet Union, why power passes from the KGB to the into politics. In fact, you had Andropov, who was the head of the KGB, and of course he became the prime minister. And you had then you had Brezhnev before him. You had Gorbachev after them. They all came from the KGB to become the leaders of course, of the Soviet Union. And today, Putin. Who is the premier or president of the Soviet Union, came from the KGB. Now, here in the United States, we have the head of the KGB, pardon me, the head of the CIA,
yes,
become the vice president of the United States in 1980 and really run the entire Reagan administration. And then in 1988, George Herbert Walker Bush, the former director of the Central American counterpart of the KGB, the CIA, became the President of the United States for one term, and today his son, the former head of the CIA's son, is in the second term as president. Isn't that an interesting similarity?
Yes, it is, and then, of course, there's allegations that in between them, President Bill Clinton was also a CIA agent. I've never been able to verify this, but there were rumors to the effect that for a while he was a CIA agent himself. So it's very strange in terms of how our policy is being set. Now, approximately 10 months ago, after the death of Sir Edward Heath, who was former Prime Minister of Great Britain, who apparently was a German agent of the Abwehr, or DVD, who was recruited at Cambridge University back in 1939, was probably the longest-living foreign agent in history. And when this, when his death came about, a colleague of ours, Christopher Story, was provided with information by two MI6 agents concerning Sir Edward Heath. And this information led to the fact that, in all probability, there are German agents from the Third Reich and their descendants who are active not only in the CIA but MI6, but also German, French, and Russian intelligence to this day. And so as an underground entity unto itself, they are able to manipulate foreign policy. And I want to stress that this has nothing to do with the official German government. This is a separate entity, somewhat on the dark side, affiliated with the Illuminati. Their headquarters are near Dachau in Germany, in the Bavarian region. And this is something that was established during the Second World War in neutral Spain, where Germany sent its top planners to establish a means whereby eventually the German Empire would again rise from the ashes, and possibly upon the ashes of the former United States from their perspective.
Well, of course, a lot of the Nazis went to South America after the Second World War.
That is true.
With full support of the American CIA. And there's a wonderful hour-long program that Sam Donaldson did where he followed the 10,000 Nazis who were helped to escape to South America by the American CIA and by British intelligence. And, of course, they were working in concert with a part of the Vatican. This was an official Vatican policy, but there are dark forces within the Vatican as well. So there's no question 10,000 Nazis went there to maintain. In fact, there's a movie made about it. It was called The Odessa File. Although it was fictional, there's a lot of truth to that. The Abwehr is still alive and well, because behind that, of course, were powerful occult forces. The entire Nazi movement was built on the occult. But then, of course, those same forces are in both British and American intelligence as well. But go ahead, John.
Because at the end of the war, during Operation Paperclip, which was carried out by OSS, the parent organization of the CIA, not only did they bring over German rocket scientists and engineers, but they also brought over German intelligence agencies, agents, and heads of the various agencies over there. And as a result, these people were used to help with the building up of our OSS and CIA, and so they were able to get into positions whereby they could assist technologically at first, and eventually they were able to get into higher positions where they would be at the managerial level. And today, many of these agents play a very significant role in our own CIA and other related intelligence agencies here in America, but they're not working on behalf of the American people. They're working on behalf of foreign entities. And this is what makes things so disturbing. So the policies that are being set now, such as going into Iraq and possibly soon into Iran, are not necessarily designed for the benefit of America's security or the American people, but rather for some other interests.
All right, what are your take on what are those other interests, and why are they so intent upon wanting to get us involved in a war with Iran? It doesn't make any sense.
Not from our standpoint. But they would like us to continue to provide our young men and women as cannon fodder for these wars that are fought halfway around the world, which are counterproductive. And at the same time, we are making it possible for them to make huge profits, to make a great headway. Now, it's ironic, Dr. Stan, that so little is known about the troublemakers in the Middle East. What very few Americans are aware of is that back in the 1920s, the German Abwehr established the so-called Muslim Brotherhood, which is the parent organization of Al-Qaeda. And so as a result, here is an organization that was founded several decades ago, and yet it has tremendous influence even to this day in the Middle East. And in terms of German intelligence, it's rather intriguing. We have a tendency to belittle it, but it's interesting to find out that, according to Christopher Story's information, that Rasputin, Lenin, and Beria, and of course Trotsky, were actually German agents designed to infiltrate the Russian governments at various periods of time to bring about benefits for Germany. And they did. Each and every one of them did. So we need to understand that German agents or any foreign agents in any high places of influence can be highly effective.
No, but it's not really because they're necessarily German. It's because they are part of this dark side of this dark side of international intelligence. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, is there loyalty to Germany or to these secret societies, these secret occult societies?
Well, at that time, I should say, from their perspective, when they said they were working for the benefit of Germany, in reality they were working for the secret societies.
And of course, Lenin was living in Switzerland at the time of the First World War, and yeah. It was the German intelligence who put him into a boxcar along with many of his communist followers and shipped them across Germany into Russia to launch the counter-revolution in October of 1970, topple Kerensky, destroy any opportunity for a freedom in Russia, and of course to bring about communism, and that really doesn't make sense. But then there's so little that goes on in the world today that really makes sense. Communism was established in Russia not only with the help of the German high command, but with the help of the American Federal Reserve Bank, and we cover some of that in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course with the help of the British Secret Society created by Cecil Rhodes, was heavily tied into British intelligence and of course British banking. So nothing really is quite as it appears to be. And until you begin studying these things and understand that there really are other forces in the world, and then behind those, these dark spiritual forces that certainly John is referring to. So we're going to get back to him in just a minute. And John has all sorts of fascinating sources of information, information you're not going to hear elsewhere. In fact, he's even talked to Gordon Thomas, who is certainly one of the great writers of modern times, who's gone into the background of really what's going on and as far as communist China is concerned, and maybe he could even tell us a little bit about that if he has time. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, John Spring, who's a geographer, and believe me, nothing is what it appears to be. We do not make simple, stupid mistakes. Go ahead, John.
Well, Dr. Stan, before we get back on our topic, I thought I would just call to your listeners' attention two events occurring here in Southern California. One is occurring tonight at 11 p.m. on Channel 52, one of our Spanish-speaking stations. The interview that was done with William Rodriguez back on March 12th is finally going to be aired tonight after so much delay and bureaucracy. So I encourage all of our listeners, whether they speak English or Spanish, to tune in to Channel 52 tonight at 11 p.m. The other event...
But before you go on, could you explain to our listeners why an interview with William Rodriguez is important? Who is William Rodriguez, and why is his story one of the most important stories ever told?
Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention, Dr. Stan. William Rodriguez is probably one of America's greatest heroes in recent years, because he alone was responsible for saving hundreds of lives in the World Trade Center, because he had one of the few set of master keys to the entire complex, and he was able to get people out of the North Tower and South Tower. And he arrived at work a little bit late on that Monday morning, and at shortly after 8:30 a.m., in his office, which was located in a tunnel between the Twin Towers, he heard a loud explosion in the basement beneath where he was situated.
Now, this was before, of course, the first plane hit the North Tower.
That is correct. And approximately 15 to 20 minutes later, the first aircraft hit one of the towers.
And, of course, there was a man who came up from the sub-basement who had been, of course, burned severely by the explosion. The explosion occurred before the plane hit the North Tower. What was the explosion? Well, we do know, of course, that the entire base of the metal structures that made up the frame of both the North and South Tower had completely melted down. Why would they melt out? They were molten metal for hot, too hot to get close to it for literally a week after the attack. So something happened in the basement before the attack, and that's William Rodriguez's story, isn't it?
That's part of it. And part of it is the rescue attempts that he made. And when he got to, I believe, the 33rd floor of the South Tower on a rescue operation, they bypassed that level because it was vacated or under renovation, but he heard a lot of strange motion occurring on that particular level, and then later on he heard a series of explosions throughout that particular building. So I just encourage our listeners to catch that tonight, if it's at all possible, at 11 p.m. on Channel 52 here in Southern California on Telemundo. The other event is an event for Sonny Sardo, who's running for Congress here in Southern California. And I have a phone number for more information. It's 1-888-55-SARDO. And that translates into 1-888-55-72-736.
Give it one more time.
Okay. That's 1-888-55-72-736.
And apparently Sardo is a very, very good conservative running for Congress down there, and,
yes,
and I encourage all of our listeners to give him their full support.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and that Sonny Sardo is going to be running for Congress. And go ahead, John. Now, what was you were going to pick up this story?
Oh, I just forgot. The address for the event is 1823 Foothill Boulevard in La Cañada, Flint Ridge.
And now that's going to be a fundraising a party for Sonny Sardo running for Congress in Southern California. And again, when will that meeting be?
That will be this coming Saturday at 1 p.m.
And Kirk, give the address one more time and the telephone number where people can reach him.
Okay, I certainly will, because Terry Anderson, George Putnam, Ray Bream, a former talk show host, of great fame, and several others will be speaking. And that's 1823 Foothill Boulevard, La Cañada, Flint Ridge. And again, the phone number for more information is 1-888-55-72736.
All right, if you're in Southern California, why, Sunny Sod is a good man to back. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, we were talking about some other geopolitical matters of great concern before I interrupted your thoughts and my thoughts with these important announcements. But Americans must understand that what is happening throughout the world is not necessarily told to the American people. The American people, for some reason, seemingly are the last people to find out what's really going on throughout the world. And this isn't just by coincidence. It goes back to our education system, because roughly 100 years ago, the Carnegie Endowment for Peace decided that they would delete from our curricula, and that's curriculum from basically kindergarten through college, as much geography, as much foreign affairs as they possibly could, so that as a nation we became ignorant or illiterate in those areas, which are so crucial in a nation in which citizens must have knowledge to make intelligent decisions.
In other words, they've deliberately dumbed down the American people.
Yes.
And on most of these issues and the things you're talking about tonight, the average person really doesn't understand that behind all of our intelligence agencies, behind so much of what's going on, there are other forces at work.
Yes. And these forces at work are able to work very effectively because, to be quite honest, there are so few members of Congress that are knowledgeable enough to be aware or to act as watchdogs overseeing these various intelligence agencies. And unfortunately, we have been paying a dear price for this ignorance on the part of our leadership in the House and Senate, and we will continue to pay even a heavier price unless the American people realize that this is an area that they need to become much better informed about. And it will require self-study, because to be quite honest, Dr. Stan, when I was teaching my college geography courses, I basically had to start from the kindergarten level before I could start teaching my students at the college level, because there was no previous foundation stones or blocks to build upon.
Could you just take a moment and tell our listeners a little bit about Gordon Thomas and his book, The Seeds of Fire? And of course, this is a very well-known investigative reporter, and this is part of the story of Communist China. And weren't they actually involved with Al-Qaeda, at least in helping and supporting Al-Qaeda?
I'm glad you brought that up again, Dr. Stan. I did have the privilege of speaking for several hours long distance overseas with Gordon Thomas several times. And during those conversations and the interviews that we recorded for our own radio programs on Sound Off, he mentioned several things about China. In fact, I would urge everyone to get hold of his book, Seeds of Fire, because it deals with so many topics. One of the most interesting topics, of course, is Tiananmen Square, which was completely deleted from our local news media, apparently by our government during that terrible situation in Tiananmen Square in China, when the students were uprising and protesting, and as were many of the other citizens throughout China. But Gordon Thomas was able to find out that there are many Chinese agents who are working as intelligence agents throughout the Middle East and throughout Central Asia, as well as in Africa.
And I suspect right here in the United States, probably working at the highest levels of our government, I suspect even with the full knowledge and support of our own government. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest, John Spring. John picked the story up. They were talking about the agents, a communist intelligence agents, all throughout the Middle East and about through Africa, and I'm sure in South America. I'm sure right here in the United States, they have their agents. They have their underground here. They kill dissidents who Chinese dissidents who object to their policies. They have their eyes and ears everywhere here in America as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, they do. But there is one story that Gordon told me that was of special interest. And that was shortly before 9/11, when a large Chinese jetliner landed at Kabul in Afghanistan with very high officials, and they met with the Taliban, and basically they were willing to provide to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda the most highly advanced surface-to-air artillery and missile technology for immediate use against any future invasion from America and its allies. And it was interesting to find out that there was a considerable amount of technical information that was uncovered by the Americans and our allies in various caves throughout Afghanistan. And some of this information suggested that nuclear weaponry was even in the offing, basically. They came across many manuals on how to manufacture dirty nuclear bombs, not full bona fide nuclear weapons, but weapons that would provide enough nuclear fallout to basically cause havoc to a major metropolitan city such as New York or Los Angeles. And for some reason, none of this was ever mentioned, as far as I can recall, here by the news media. But Al-Qaeda was assisted by the Chinese. As you know, bin Laden was not a very well person, and he spent several times in Chinese hospitals. But for some reason, that information has never been mentioned here in the United States, because he is not a very well person. But when he goes to China, he gets the very best medical attention one could possibly imagine. And the Chinese have been very supportive of his operations, as they were of the Taliban.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John was just saying how the Chinese communists were very supportive of Osama bin Laden. That Osama bin Laden had been, according to Gordon Thomas, to communist China for several occasions for medical care and got excellent medical care there. The Chinese communists were very, very supportive of the Taliban and even offered to give them very sophisticated weapons prior to the American attack on Afghanistan. Now, why, if that was the case, why wouldn't we be upset with that? And yet, anybody who studied what happened when America attacked Iraq, why the Russians were there. They actually were supplying personnel. They were supplying all sorts of information and satellite information for the Iraqis and for Saddam Hussein about America's battle plans. They knew all about America's battle plans. They provided them to Saddam Hussein. Why would our good friends in Russia do that? Why would our good friends in communist China, you know, help the Taliban? Well, maybe for the same reason that the United States was financing the Taliban all during those years when Osama bin Laden was there between 1996 and 2001. And if you read President Bush's speech on the 20th of September 2001, when he addressed the nation, told them we were going to have to go after Afghanistan, because, of course, they were controlled by the wicked Taliban. And then he said, the United States, of course, has no animosity to the Afghan people. We are the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan. What he really meant was, we have been funding the Taliban all along. We funded the Taliban while they were giving refuge to the wicked Osama bin Laden. And none of that really makes any sense, unless maybe there are other forces at work. Would you agree, John?
Yes, very, very much so, Dr. Stan. Regarding Chinese technicians going into the Middle East, especially Iraq and Iran, there's something that I think our listeners should be aware of. According to Joseph Badonsky, North Koreans and Chinese technicians develop a technology whereby they can dig underground tunnel complexes to a depth of almost 1 mile beneath the surface. And supposedly in 1995, for the benefit of Saddam Hussein, the North Koreans and Chinese built tunnel bunker complexes in various locations throughout Iraq. And we've been occupying that nation for over 3 years now, and to the best of my knowledge, we have not uncovered one of these tunnel complex systems, and yet there are several of them that supposedly were built in 1995 to replace the outdated ones which were built more than a decade earlier. Now, the same is true in Iran. Tunnel complex systems have been built there where they are developing their nuclear warhead technology and missile technology, and supposedly we are preparing for pinpoint accuracy bombing of such facilities, and I find that rather amazing because we have been unable to supposedly detect any of these sites within Iraq, a nation which we've occupied for 3 years. So it's going to be like finding the proverbial needle in the haystack at best. And to go to war under those conditions with such little data seems ludicrous. And yet, basically, this is what we are being led to believe, that we must now go into Iran because of the weapons of mass destruction. Now, although France has been getting a very good deal from Iran on its oil at $12 a barrel compared to what we have to pay, the Europeans, including the French, are very worried about Iran because it does have missiles which do have the capability of hitting almost any major city throughout Europe.
But, of course, they got those from the Chinese communists who got the technology and the financing from the United States. So we have actually indirectly supplied the weapons to Iran that allowed them to target all of the cities of Europe. Why would we do something that stupid unintentionally?
I can't give you an intelligent answer, Dr. Stan. It's almost as if we're committing suicide or shooting ourselves in the proverbial foot.
I always liked that wonderful quotation, an understanding of the forces that have shaped the events of the 20th and the 21st century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather upon secrets to be discovered. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, of course, also, you have a very strong sphere of influence from Moscow in Iran. Iran has been very closely tied to the Russians and the former Soviets for decades, and that's another factor we must not overlook as well. But China has been, and North Korea to some extent also, has been pouring in a lot of technology into Iran. Pakistan's been helping out a little bit too. And, of course, it seems that indirectly we have done our utmost best to build up Iran's arsenal, which now, of course, we must prepare to take out. But in reality, it's very difficult. Even the Israelis, who are directly threatened by Iran at this time, know full well that to carry out such an operation that would lead to the destruction of these facilities where they are manufacturing weapons of mass destruction and missiles capable of hitting their nation, they know that it is almost technologically impossible to carry out at this time. Now, they could drop nuclear bombs on the inhabitants, but that gives them no assurance whatsoever that if they do hit a major city such as Tehran or Tehran, that will in any way cut back on the production of the weaponry which will target their own nation.
And not only that, but of course, if they were to launch a preemptive attack on Iran, Iran would be justified in launching a counterattack on Israel, and all they would need would be one nuclear bomb and in Tel Aviv, and that would be the end of modern-day Israel. So none of this really makes sense, and yet it seems like we're hell-bent upon going to war with Iran.
Yes, Dr. Stan, and what concerns me, it seems as if we should decide to go into Iran, in all probability, even though the Chinese economically almost control Taiwan today, that they may launch an invasion of that island nation shortly after we decided go into Iran.
Now, what you're saying is while we were distracted with a war with Iran, then China would take Taiwan.
Yes. And Beijing may also unleash North Korea onto South Korea, or more specifically onto U.S. Troop encampments. I'm very concerned about our troops over in South Korea, just as I was very concerned about Marines in barracks over in Beirut, Lebanon.
Well, you know, John, this last week I was in back in Washington, D.C., or at least very, very close to Washington, D.C., attending a meeting, and there was a man there who was a member, a founding member of the Project for the New American Century. I know you're acquainted with that.
Yes.
A little group of 27 people who in 1997 held meetings, decided they were going to take over our government, and they did that. Now, if you doubt this is true, you go to their website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. That's the Project for the New American Century website, and you can see who the founding members were. I mean, these are the people who control the administration today: Dick Cheney, David Rumsfeld, John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, Liddy, the current ambassador to Iraq. Elliot Abrams in the State Department. We could go down the list of them. There are only 27 of them, but there are people in key positions. So I talked to one of these men who is a propagandist for the Project for the New American Century, and I said, when do you think that we'll be at war with Iraq, with Iran? And his remark was, well, they're going to precipitate it. And I didn't want to admit my stupidity by asking who they were, so I rephrased the question, and he replied, well, the administration is coming unraveled. They're going to have to precipitate the war or the attack. So basically, here's a man, I think, who knows what's going to happen, and he's anticipating, and I think the only thing that would prevent the attack coming would be a revolution or overthrowing the current government, which they're trying to do, but I don't think they'll be successful. But they are going to need something, a great diversion to get the people behind the Bush administration. Wouldn't another war perhaps have that influence? Had that effect, and especially, of course, if they sunk a couple of our battleships, and you know, that would really tend to rally the people behind the president against this terrible enemy that just because we launched a few bombs and killed a few of their people, they try to defend themselves. Why? What a terrible thing! So, what are your thoughts, John? Pick up the story.
Well, I am concerned. According to information that I received almost a year and a half, if not 2 years ago, from Yosef Adonsky, in which supposedly the Iranian government based in Tehran has already sent agents overseas here to America and Central America, basically to prepare to carry out terrorist operations here in the United States. And it was my understanding that they were planning to recruit members of nations of Latin America to collaborate with them in such an operation. And perhaps this is one of the real reasons why George W. Bush has decided to crack down on the border with Canada, I'm sorry, the border with Mexico and the United States. The other possibility is possibly avian flu, and I hope and pray I'm wrong on both counts. But we must understand that the Iranians, through Hezbollah, which means in Farsi, the Party of God, has carried out many terrorist operations throughout the world, and to the best of my knowledge, the United States has not carried out any retaliatory operations against Hezbollah or the Iranians.
This is the incredible thing, John. I mean, they were responsible, and we knew they were responsible, for the bombing of the American embassy in Lebanon and Beirut in 1983, for the bombing of the Marine barracks, and I think there were 246 Marines killed in 1983. Yeah. They were responsible for kidnapping the American CIA chief of staff, chief of headquarters in Beirut, and torturing to death. I mean, they have done thing after thing after thing. Certainly, I believe that they even were involved to some extent with a 9-1-1 attack. And our government has steadfastly refused to do anything about it. You have to ask yourself why. It doesn't make any sense any more than it made any sense back in 1979 when the CIA toppled the Shah of Iran and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. Didn't make any sense then, unless maybe there was a long-range plan eventually to go to war with Iran, and it's coming to its fruition right now. A long-range plan to plunge the world into World War III.
Well, I hope and pray we're wrong, Dr. Stan, but the way things are going, it seems like everything is being done to set us up for that forthcoming invasion of Iran in the very near future. And again, I hope and pray that I'm wrong, and I hope it never occurs. But
well, I don't think it's necessarily going to be an invasion, but I think it'll be an airstrike. I hope it's not going to be an invasion.
Yes, and as I pointed out earlier, for an airstrike to be successful, they would have to have technology whereby they had a weapon that could burrow down to a depth of 1 mile beneath the Earth's surface and be right on target, basically. And I doubt very seriously if we have the technology or the intelligence capability to successfully carry out such a strike at this time, which means it's almost pointless to do so. And unfortunately, the young people who are dissatisfied with their government may take a different approach if we intervene or interfere with their domestic situation in that respect.
Speaking now of the Iranian students?
The Iranians, yes.
Right.
Young Iranian students and Iranian youth are very disenchanted with their government, but if they see what has happened in Iraq happening to them, when supposedly at first the Iraqis were welcoming the U.S. GIs with open arms, but with a very poor PR system set up, because most Americans are not aware that our military is not the same as it was during the Second World War, the Korean War, or even during the Vietnam War, but rather it is patterned now after the German army, the Wehrmacht, and it has entirely different policies and principles. In fact, it's rather doubtful that we will ever get a general of the prestige or character such as Patton or MacArthur, because people with such high ideals would be weeded out and never reach the rank of colonel or a naval captain. It's just tragic what's happening now in our military. But that's another area that perhaps we should save for another program.
However we can.
Yes.
Although there are a couple of the generals there I really have a good deal of respect for, like four-star Marine General Zinni. I think he's a man who really is a cut above the rest.
Yes, he is. But I don't know how long he's going to be able to stay in his position.
Well, he's actually retired now. He's actually
He is retired.
He's retired. He's working at a university. So he's been speaking out, and if you listen to what he has to say, he makes a lot of sense.
Yes, he does. And don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of very fine, dedicated officers in all of the branches of the military, but there's also an attempt to get rid of them as soon as they possibly can as well. And the Americans need to understand what's happening in our nation, that it isn't quite the same military policy that we had years ago, just like we don't have the same intelligence community and agenda that we had years ago. There are foreign controls being placed upon the agendas and policies of our military and intelligence community, and America better wake up.
Amen to that. Well, I certainly concur with your concern, John. I think that we are heading into the most difficult time in our nation's history. And I believe, of course, that the American people don't understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. Being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we are going to lose America. If they don't understand that there really are secret societies, there really are people who have a different motivation, who have a different goal. And their loyalty is not to America. Their loyalty is to the Novo Ordo Seclorum, the New Order of the Ages,
yes.
The New World Order, the New World Religion, and the destruction of America. When you understand that, while a lot of things begin to make sense. Well, John, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I urge everyone to become better aware of what is happening to our government, our elected government, and the government which could be referred to as our shadow government, the government that is attempting to control our policy. It was interesting to note that at the 9/11 commission that Dr. Condoleezza Rice mentioned that almost a year prior to 9/11 that the United States and the Bush administration were planning and preparing for deploying troops into nations of Central Asia, neighboring Afghanistan, and also Iraq. So I think the American people need to wake up that as long as we keep sending back the same incumbents who basically are carrying out the same policy, we're going to expect the same problems to keep perpetuating themselves. And we must continue to pray for this nation and to pray for ministries such as yours, Dr. Stan, for protection.
Well, I appreciate that, John, and I think it's so vitally important that people understand that General Nasser said, you know, the genius of you Americans is you never make a simple, stupid mistakes. You always make complex, stupid mistakes so that we're always afraid we're missing something. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not making stupid mistakes. Our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. The Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission always control the State Department. They have their people planted in key positions in every aspect of government. And they provide us with two candidates for the president. And we get a chance to vote for the candidate of their choice. Whether it would be at the last election where Skull and Bones member John Kerry ran against Skull and Bones member George W. Bush?
Yes.
Does it really make a bit of difference when they both belong to the same secret society? John, I want to thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real fun evening. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have as well.
Oh, I have, Dr. Stan. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and I look forward to doing this again with you in the near future.
All right. We'll try to get you on as soon as we have some more time. And our guest this evening has been John Spring, who's a geographer. Do you have a telephone number or website or anything you'd like to get out?
Well, if anyone wants to email me, they can reach me at jws.johnnycosta.com, and that's spelled JohnnyCosta.
JohnnyCosta.com. Well, God bless you, John. Thanks very much for being with us and helping us out this evening.
Thank you, and the Lord bless you too, Dr.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be right back here to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do need your help so that we can continue reaching out across America 5 hours a day. And remember what I said earlier, an understanding of the forces that have shaped the events of the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather upon secrets to be discovered. There really are secret organizations, there are secret societies, they've been around for thousands of years, they have a goal, you can see their emblem on the back of the dollar bill, it's a pyramid capped by an all-seeing eye, but the pyramid is unfinished. It will be finished, of course, when the Novus Ordo Seclorum has been completed. And that, of course, is the new order of the ages. If you read President Bush's second inaugural speech, the third from the last paragraph, as I remember, he talks about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Well, what's the ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled? Why, it's the new order of the ages. What's the new order of the ages? Well, type it in on Google, New Order of the Ages. What is it? Novus Ordo Seclorum. The slogan beneath the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And this takes you into the secret societies that put that there. And two of the three members of the committee that adopted that emblem and put it on and hid it on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, two of them are Rosicrucians. Well, that's an entirely different story, but, of course, you can look up the history of the Great Seal of the United States. They hid the emblem for 125 years, almost 150 years, on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, and then in 1935 it was placed on the back of the dollar bill. What is an occult emblem doing there? It is showing the occult influence in our society. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our newsletters. We'd be glad to send them to you. You need to get our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There are three of them, part one, part two, part three. But you need to understand that nothing is it appears to be. There is another dimension, a demonic dimension, and it is here that the spiritual battle is being fought. You need, of course, to get our four tape set on the supernatural, our interviews with Joanna Michelson, or her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. She was deeply involved in the occult. She was an apprentice to a psychic surgeon who actually performed supernatural events, supernatural things. She witnessed all sorts of amazing, unbelievable things, but they were all, of course, using the demonic power that the psychic surgeon had tapped into. And of course, Joanna, of course, was eventually able to recognize this and of course, give her life to the Lord. And she lost her supernatural power, but she has a wonderful story. You'll hear that in the four tape set, The Supernatural, or her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. And so, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You'll tell others about our programs. You'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us and support us in our efforts. And, of course, that you'll pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com.